Good evening. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 13 tonight. Good to see all of you here. What a wonderful song, Sister Lois. Thank you very much for singing that tonight. Genesis 13. Prayer requests I needed to mention, I was sitting there and thought about. Walked three stairs and forgot it. Okay. Well, anyways, we'll get at it. Maybe it'll pop back in my head just as fast as it popped out. It's been good being in God's house today. Enjoyed the time we had spent with the McKinleys this morning, the good report that they brought back, and the work of the Lord that they're laboring to do. Genesis 13, and we're going to read verse 5 through 18 tonight. Oh, that's it. Here it comes, I told you. Ethan and his crew is down in Lakeland, repairing lines for the down lines in Lakeland. So be a prayer for Ethan. And Carrie, well, he's up here and she's down there. I don't know if he's getting to travel. I don't know all the travel range, but be in prayer for that. That's what it was. Ethan's down there around the power lines down. All right. Genesis 13 and verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them. They might dwell together, but their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But when the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it, the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. This here portion of scripture we have is a portion of scripture that many of you have probably heard messages and sermons preached about, where a time when Abraham and Lot came to a point where there had to be a separation between the two. There was a serious problem that really did not have to be a problem, but it became a problem in verses 5 and 7. You'll see, and Lot also. So Abraham and Lot were both very wealthy. Look at verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. You know, this is the If you was to go back and look up to this point, this is the very first time that it's mentioned in the Bible about riches. Now, it's obvious that there is no sin in being wealthy, as long as when it's obtained honorably, just, righteous, hard work and labor. Now, there's a problem comes whenever the evil eye of jealousy swirls in amongst each other. This is family here. This is not down the road friends or another family. This is actually family that had lived together. Now, this is what happens with those that have obtained wealth and gained wealth as Christians and believers in Christ. I do believe this increases your responsibility in the Lord, because He's blessed you in much. So you owe a great responsibility to the Lord for that. He came and He gave 5 talents to one, and gave 4 to another, 3, 2, 1. The one hid his in the ground, dug it up, and the Lord took it from him and gave it to the wealthy one. We're responsible for that which we have been given. That's the parable of talents there. So God didn't give you what He gave you to pack away for a rainy day. He gave it for you to be used for His honor and His glory. You have great responsibility for it. You're going to pack it away and hide it away until the Lord comes back and He's going to say, you know, why didn't you put it to use? He's going to come back and do it. So there's great responsibility to that one that has been blessed with wealth. We're to be good stewards. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Of that which the Lord has blessed you with. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And look at verse number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, the Bible says, "And thou shalt, thou say in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore unto thy fathers, that it is this day. And it shall be that if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, and testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish as a nation which the Lord destroyeth before your face. Ye shall perish because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." So there is a great danger for those that would look to themselves and look to their abilities and look to their gain as something they accomplished with and without God at all, just themselves and their might. We got to keep God in the forefront of our mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required. It's a requirement. And so here we have a problem. It actually became a serious problem, which did not have to become serious problems. It happened because Abraham and Lot didn't have the same view. Abraham looked to God. Lot looked to self. And Lot said, this is mine, and I've got it, and I'm going to live according to how I choose and want to live. And he passed that on to his herdsmen. I mean, after all, it would be my thinking that he left with Abraham, and as he got to where he was going, he should have been given over to allow Abraham to make choices, whether first or last, just out of respect and honor for anything else. But he did not. Then there was the strife that was there. And the Bible is very plain there in verse 7. It says, "And the Canaanite, the Perizzite, dwelled then in the land." There's others that's going to see this strife. Sad thing, many times in in God's Word that there's such problems that arise as this because of selfishness or pride or lifting up into your way and not giving over to the Lord's way. And as you do this, you know, others are paying attention. I told you time and again about the story in Magnolia, Mississippi, where the church split happened over a pie. One family wanted to give the pie, the other family gave the pie, and then the family that didn't give the pie got mad, and then they split the church. When we was in Athens, Greece, and we was planting the church there, in Calvary Baptist Church, and as we planted the church, we had several that was ready for baptism, so I thought it good to teach on the subject of baptism. And we were running in front about that time about 50 folks at the church at that time. And I did an 8-week service sermon series on baptism, the meaning of baptism and what it was, and a biblical view of baptism. And then I got an invitation the weekend before we were to have the baptism. I got an invitation from one of the families there. They wanted me to come to a christening of one of their nephews. And I just politely declined. I said, I'm sorry, I will not be able to attend. And then that wasn't enough. They wanted to know the reason why. I said, well, you've sit here for 8 Sundays in a row. I said, if I go then to a christening of that baby as an infant baptism, I am saying that's credible. And if I go there, I'm giving over to the fact that it must be right. Preacher was there. And I could not go. And that next Sunday, Brother Jim, 27 of them walked out of the church over infant baptism. It's never over. True. You know what it was? They got their feelings hurt that a lot of those folks was going to take a stand and they would not yield to biblical doctrine. The Bible always takes precedence over our wants, our desires, our traditions, our way. If we're going to do it outside the truth, the Word of God, we're messing up. We're asking for trouble. We've got to stay within the boundaries of the Bible. The Bible says God is a spirit, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It's not what we want, what we desire, what we got. We got to fall in line and lockstep and barrel with the Word of God. They're going to do it like this. And Lot wasn't willing to do that. And then there's that strife. It wasn't between Abraham and Lot. It was between the herdmen. But everybody in that nation knew, and all around the circle knew, that this was Abram's servants. This was Lot's servants. These were God's people. And they're fighting amongst themselves. And Abram beseeched him. And he said that this shouldn't be. Our herdsmen, we shouldn't be having these arguments and these fighting. And verse 8 he says, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Abraham, very generous man here, wanted to take care of the atmosphere for the glory of God. He didn't say, because I'm older than you. He didn't say, because I'm your uncle. In a generous way, he said, because we are brethren. We're brethren because he cared about the testimony of God. And we got to care about the testimony of God first and foremost. And so he offered Lot a choice. As a matter of fact, the first choice. Abraham could have said this, Lot, look, I don't have time for this. Ain't got no time at all for this. Me and my men, we're headed that way. You can have everything's left. Didn't do that, did he? Didn't do that at all. Look at verse number 8, verse number 9. He said, there, finished verse 8, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. Abram was the eldest, and he deserved the first choice in this situation by just the fact that he was his uncle, being older in that way. But he said, Lot, we're brethren. The whole land is before us. You take what you want. Wherever you go, you make your choice. And as you make your choice, I'll just do what's right by God, and I'll do what's... Isn't it amazing when we get to the end of this? That where Abraham was at, even though Lot chose first, where Abraham was at in the latter portions of this here chapter we read, God said, lift up thine eyes. Look north and south, east and westward. This is what I promised you. See, what always looks good to the eye and looks right to the flesh is not always best. Not always best. And Lot made his choice in verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Remember, sheep, herd, cattle. You need water. You need the plain for them to eat. It's always green on the other side, isn't it? He lifted up his eyes. This kind of reminds me of how we operate sometime over in 1 John, if you would, chapter number 2. 1 John, chapter number 2. Verse number 15. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You think for a moment that Lot would have paused and said, you know, God, which way you'd have me to go? God, which avenue would you have me to take? Was he not there between Bethel and Ai when Abraham built the altar? Worshipped the true God? Was he not there when Abraham come back up out of Egypt and found himself again at Bethel and Ai and there worshiped once again? It wasn't that he was not familiar with worship. His desires of the fulfilling of the flesh and the appetite of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life overcame him. He looked with all the pleasures of life. There's well-watered plains. And Lot lifted his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well-watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. This is a beautiful place. You remember studying the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, and the second chapter of the Bible, where God made the Garden of Eden? It was beautiful. Verse 31 of chapter 1 says, and all that God did, it was well, it was good. And God likens the plains which he is looking at, Lot's looking at it, as of the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden got people in trouble, didn't it? Egypt got Abraham in trouble. So he likens the beauty of that which he sees to places that found men in trouble. You remember after Adam and Eve fell, there was a cherubim that was placed there for a witness with a flaming sword. For all that passed by to see and say, this was God's best, and you chose the less. Abraham, there was a famine in the land, but I am God, and I can sit at a table. But Abraham, you chose Egypt, which looked well and looked good, but got yourself in trouble. And I had to rescue you out of there. Lot, you were with him. But he chose, he made his choice. Like in the land of Egypt, he looked back into this world, and how many of us were saved, we're living for God for a little while, then all of a sudden we're offered something. You know, the devil always hanging something out there in front of us, and we're offered, and it's there before us, and we begin to look upon it. We begin to ponder and say, man, I can have that. But is it the will of God for you to have that? Well, preacher, I don't know what that is. You put what you want on into your stick. You know the devil's dangled it for you. He's put it out there. And you've looked and you've made your choice without considering God's will for your life. And you make that choice as it's there. And you make them choices, dear friend. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all that beauty, that caused him great trouble. This is just the beginning of his troubles. The little fight here with the herdsmen of Abraham. You know what Lot could have said? He could have said, listen, guys, let's huddle up. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but Abraham's a godly man. He's a friend of God. God rescued him out of Egypt, and we're going to take seconds, and we're going to just live long beside him. He could have fixed this, but he didn't. He made his choice. He, verse 11, Lot chose and then separated himself from Uncle Abraham. He no longer desired the godly companionship and the blessings of Abraham. What you talking about, Pastor? Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Now I will make thee, this is God talking to Abraham, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do you not think that included Lot's family? I'm telling you, many times you look out at this stuff and everything that's around you and the opportunities that's before you, and you choose worldly gain over godly companionship. I can have, I can get, I want. Lust of the eye, the pride of life. And you desire, and you get. Sin takes us a whole lot further than we ever want to go. Keeps us a whole lot longer than we want to stay. And cost us a whole bunch more than we ever thought we would pay. Ever thought. Choices. Daily choices. Choices that cause ruin and hurt and pain. Choices right here that Abraham's wife, one day because of this choice, would be a pillar of salt. One day because of this choice, Lot's wife would be a pillar of salt. One day because of this choice, Lot's daughters would offer him drink and get him drunk, sleep with their own father and birth the child that would forever be a thorn in the flesh for the nation of Israel. This choice, right here. Listen, our choices go, they ripple way down in life, dear friend. Way down in life. Boy, and Abraham said, Lot, we're brethren. You take there, the land's before us, do what you want, Lot. And Lot looked and verse 12, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. It means he opened it. He saw, hey, yeah, it's kind of wicked down there, guys, but you know, we can do some trading. We'll stay out here in the plain, and we'll open up our doors, and we'll trade back and forth with the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah. Pitched his tent. Took a look and gazed. Can you imagine every morning he walked out there? Oh, wow. And that camel hair sure sleeps well. Whew, hey, Jedediah. One day we might not have to live in these tents. Look at them houses down there. They got 2-story pitch houses down there. Yeah, Lot, but you know, it's wicked. You know, we traded down there. We met them halfway down there last week. They wanted to rob us. They brought those half-naked girls and half-naked men out there, and they was doing things that they wasn't supposed to be doing. It's pretty wicked. Yeah, you're right. Just take care of the sheep, cat. Make sure. Wow, you hear that? You smell that bacon? They're cooking bacon down. You smell that? Ooh, that's bread. That's fresh bread. Now let's go down there and just give us some breakfast. From this point on, he's no longer going to be pitched his tent. He will be seated at the gate of Sodom. This choice. So we don't just all of a sudden crumble over and fall apart. We're a slow fade down into sin. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit laying aside the things of God. God's things not important. This is more important, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And before we know it, we have crumbled and fallen apart. He dwelt. Chapter 14, verse 12. Listen. He's pitched his tent in 13. Chapter 14 and verse 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. Who dwelt, and see there it says, who dwelt in Sodom. This is when they come and they done took him captive. But the Bible tells us very plainly from this portion of Scripture which we just read, where he pitched his tent in chapter 13, verse 12, on down to chapter 14 by verse 12, he's in Sodom, living there. Goes pretty fast, doesn't it? I can contain myself. I can handle this. I can control this. Really? Lot was very rich. What did he need in Sodom? That's what the Bible says. In verse 5, and Lot also, meaning Lot included in the description which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the description in verse 2, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold, and Lot also. What did he need down there? The things of this world will never satisfy you. The things of this world will never fill that void. You'll always want more. Got to have more. Got to need more. I think they asked Rockefeller one time, how much is enough? He's one more dollar. Just one more. How much was enough? How about this verse? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Wicked city he's living in now. Verses 14 through 18, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. What's the problem? Sometimes those around us withhold the blessings of God. You telling me God couldn't have told Abraham chapter 12 to look up and open your eyes and look here, walk the length and the breadth thereof? Why would God be so direct and so descriptive in the timing? And the Lord said to Abraham, he had said many things to Abraham up to this point, but after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for a little while, for a generation or two, forever. That's why it's the nation of Israel still today. Not because the UN decided to, but because God said so. Not because America got involved and did this and that, but because God said that would be their land forever. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it, breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the land of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Verses 14 through 18, you see the covenant God made with Abraham, the renewal of it, the focus of it. You see, after the separation and the fulfilling of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 3, if you go back and look at that now, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country, and listen what it said, from thy kindred. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Right there, it's there. You know why God did not? Because Abraham had fulfilled the full commandment of God. See, partial obedience is disobedience. You get down the road a little bit, dear friend. You get a little bit where you're going, but partial obedience is disobedience. If you want the full blessing of God, dear friend, you're going to have to be fully obedient. Obedience must be primary. It's got to be primary. Keeping the word of God. Then the land that was given to him would be forever. Look in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18 real quick. Genesis 15, 18. The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Euphrates unto the great river, the river Euphrates. It just describes down to the T, all this west bank, east bank, south bank, north bank. God done put the boundaries. It's all the wiles of the devil over there stirring up trouble and strife. And guess where it's coming from? Lot's offspring. Ishmael. You got out of the will of God, dear friend. You had a whole bunch of trouble for a lifetime.